stupid. This doesn't matter. Hello.
Hello.
So how are you?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you?
I'm very well. I'm sitting comfortably. I've learned I need to do that for you.
Oh, right. Okay. Yes.
So, I know we've come to have a chat.
Yes.
So what are we talking about today?
Well, today I wanted to ask you about love and light.
Oh, dear.
Yes.
I'm glad I'm sitting comfortably.
Yes, exactly.
What do you want to know?
Well, I've just been thinking about this because I noticed that it's... Love and light is used as an expression by a lot of people. Mm-hmm. Very often I get emails and people send me love and light or letters. And I just started thinking, love and light, why do we say and? Are they not the same thing?
Oh, good question. Mm. No, they're not. No, of course not. No. Okay. Now, to say unconditional love and light are closer to being the same thing.
Right.
Yes, but love, no, love is human.
Love is human.
So love is a human aspect.
Right.
It's an emotion.
Okay.
So love and light are very different, two completely different vibrations.
Right.
You'll notice they never sign unconditional love and light, which are closer related.
Mm.
It's always love, which is a human aspect, a physical thing.
Yes.
And light as a representation of a spiritual thing.
I see.
So
right.
No, definitely not the same thing.
Okay.
But I would agree, they think it is.
Yes, I think the reason I thought it was because to me both of them encompass sort of everything that's good, you know, positive qualities.
Yes, and then we run into the other small problem.
Right.
Love is not all good.
Mm. Okay.
Love, like every emotion, has a negative aspect. Now, you see it yourself in this world all the time, with stalkers, obsession. That's all love in its negative aspect.
Okay.
So when you are sending people love, you don't quantify good love or bad love. Mm-hmm. You don't really even quantify what kind of love. Because love, unlike most emotions, has very distinct patterns to it. So motherly love, partner love, intimacy, the love of an object, the love of something in a general term. Then you get into obsessive love, you get into negative thinking about it, you get into self-worth issues with love.
Mm.
So love as a word is somewhat meaningless.
Yes, I think maybe that's what confused me.
Yes, because really all it is a doorway into a much bigger thing.
Mm.
The expression of that sentiment, that feeling for someone that does not necessarily have reason behind it.
Right.
So a mother's love is not made out of logic. It's made out of pure emotion.
Mm.
So it's emotion in its most cleansed form, if you like. When you get drop into love in a balanced sense, you can love something without any rational reason for it. And that's why when love is out of balance, it so easily becomes obsession, because the rationale is not there.
Right.
Love has no logic in it. It is an emotion that sits purely just in the emotional aspect. It doesn't have a mental equivalent. It has a physical equivalent, which is lust.
Right.
But it doesn't have a mental equivalent. So it's irrational.
Okay. It doesn't have a mental equivalent.
No.
Right. Okay.
Some emotions have physical, mental and emotional representations of them.
Mm-hmm.
Love only has a physical one, lust.
Right.
So lust is driven out of your survival instinct.
Okay.
It's the survival of the species. If you didn't procreate, you wouldn't all still be here.
Mm.
So lust is a necessary part of your survival instinct. So love can drop down into the physical aspect of love as lust, but there's no mental equivalent.
Right, I see. So would greed be similar then to lust if you loved food or...
Well, you're now talking about gluttony and things like that.
Yes.
Okay, but they are not an aspect of love. They are an aspect of worth.
Of worth, right.
Gluttony tends to be out of low self-esteem.
Okay, yes.
Most of those drop down to an element of worth.
Mm.
Not love. It's an illusion that you eat too much because you love food.
Mm.
You don't. You are eating too much because you don't care for yourself. You have
yourself.
No self-respect. Yes. It's an absence of love, not an aspect of love.
Right. Okay. I've often heard about God's love.
Right.
But
which
you're
one?
Saying that... Well, sometimes you just hear about that,
mm-hmm.
the expression of God's love.
But God is a being that is not human, not physical.
Yeah.
So surely it would be God's unconditional love.
Okay.
Which is the separation. We talk about love in the human concept as the emotion.
Right.
Then we clarify spirit have no emotions. So there is no emotion in spirit. There is only a state of being.
Mm.
And we exist in a state of unconditional love.
Okay.
Okay. That's the closest we get to any representation that you have of an emotion.
Right.
So God would have unconditional love, not love.
Right. As humans, could we embody that
unconditional love? It's one of these sort of arbitrary things. There are lots of spiritual people who believe you can.
Yeah.
And lots of spiritual people who try desperately to do so.
Mm.
However, they are somewhat missing the point. Mm. You can't embrace unconditional love in the physical world unless you have embraced love. And what they try to do is they try to surpass love and make it unconditional.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore they haven't learned anything. So how can they?
Right.
If you can master love, if you can step in and be balanced within all of your emotions,
mm-hmm.
then you will reach the closest plateau you can to the physical equivalent of unconditional love. But it will never be the same as ours.
Okay.
But it would be the closest physical equivalent to it.
Right. So that's a balanced love.
It's a balanced total emotion.
Total emotion.
So you'd have to balance love, but also all of the emotions would have to come into perfect harmony to give you a chance to step into that plateau of the physical representation of unconditional love. Mm-hmm. Because you have to have dealt with judgment, which you and I have discussed before.
Yes.
You would have to deal with worth and value. You would have to deal with fear and the ego. So everything could have to drop into balance to step into that unconditional aspect of it.
Okay.
Because it's often confused, unconditional as being tolerance.
Yes.
Which is disgraceful.
Right.
Because tolerance is completely negative.
Mm. Do you mean because it's still disapproving?
Of course. I tolerate you.
Yeah.
So if you think about acceptance, in its balanced form, it is fully accepting. In its unbalanced form, it is tolerance.
Okay. Yes, that's an interesting difference.
But it's still a judgment, isn't it?
Yes.
I tolerate you means at some level you are judging the scenario
mm-hmm.
and believing that is a solution.
Mm-hmm.
You're not truly accepting.
Okay. So acceptance...
Yes. Very key.
Right. I'm just trying to think about acceptance as opposed to tolerance.
Yes. Tolerance needs to drop down into acceptance.
Okay.
Because when you accept that a person is how they are, that's the most you could ever give them.
Right, but you might still not like
their behavior. Oh, yes, you don't have to like them.
No.
But you accept that that is how they need to be.
Okay.
You accept how the relationship between you needs to affect both of you. Do I need to be affected by this? Do I need to pander to what they are doing? If you accept them for who they are, you equally have to accept yourself for it.
Right.
So it's both sides have to be accepting.
Okay.
But actually, if all of you drop into acceptance, the world can step out of all of this extreme tolerance. Because all tolerance does is beget more frustration.
Right.
Because it's dishonest.
And you still want people to change if
Absolutely.
You're tolerating them.
Yes. You still want them to do it your way.
Yes.
subconsciously, but you still want them to change. You're still not willing to let them be who they are.
Mm-hmm.
You are tolerating that for a so-called greater good. Mm-hmm. You have to allow them to be like that, but you don't like it to the point that you actually want it to change.
Yeah.
If you accept the scenario, you can still not like it.
Mm-hmm.
But you can still allow it to be like that. The massive difference.
Yes. So is it ever okay to ask somebody to change, to consider changing?
That would depend in what format you did it.
Mm.
To ask them to change for you, mm-hmm. No.
No.
To ask them to change for their own highest good, depends how you phrase it.
Mm.
I think if you say to them, you need to change because you're on the wrong road, you're ultimately going to get them walking off in the other direction.
Mm.
Quite often, the reverse psychology works very well. Going, you're on a destructive path. Wonderful, go for it.
Yeah.
And they'll tell us, what do you mean? Go for it. I should not want to destruct. Oh, don't you? Would you want to change that?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yes, I do. Oh, I'll help you do that. Turn it around. The thing with change is it has to come from the person. They have to want it.
Mm-hmm.
If they are trying to change for you, it's artificial.
Okay.
It's not heartfelt. It's not really meant. And they will ultimately resent you for it.
Mm-hmm.
So it has to be that a person wants to change. All you can ever change in this world is yourself.
Right.
And the sooner humanity gets to grips with that, mm-hmm. the better.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because actually, if there was more focus on the individual responsibility and less on the collective past,
mm-hmm.
you'd have a greater opportunity to change.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you all dropped into changing yourselves and being the best that you could, you'd pull everybody else along with you. Because what happens is when you are changing and you're growing and you're becoming happy and content and loving of yourself,
mm-hmm.
everybody else looks at you and goes, I want a piece of that.
Yes.
What did you do?
Yeah, yeah.
So you bring them in. If you try to tell them what to do, they will resent you for it.
Mm.
They will fight you.
Mm-hmm.
Or they will concede to your wishes and not truly change. They'll fake it.
Right. Because there were a lot of books, you know, there was a trend for a while, mm. sort of psychology books
yes.
that talked about relationships, and if you were upset by another person's behaviour, you would speak to them and say, well, when you do this, I feel upset.
Yes.
That type of thing.
But that's not asking them to change.
Okay.
That's asking them to recognise how you are reacting.
Right. So that's different.
You have to be careful with what the intention is behind it.
Mm.
Sometimes people are not aware of their patterns of behaviour. So there is an argument for stepping into your truth saying, I need you to understand that when you do that, this is how I feel and that is why I react the way I do.
Mm.
That's about honesty. There's no requirement in that. You're not saying, but that's why I want you to now change.
Mm-hmm.
You're not saying that. You're saying, I need you to understand why I behave like I do.
Right.
They can then say, well, actually, I'm behaving like I am because of what you did. You then have a dialogue where mm. you actually recognize it's not about change. It's about the fact that you've created a scenario between the two of you
mm.
that both of you are being pulled along with that actually isn't one you want to do anyhow.
Okay. Yeah.
There's nothing to change. You're feeding off of each other's reaction.
Mm.
So often within very close-knit relationships, scenarios occur out of lack of communication because you're acting and reacting to the point that actually you create something that's artificial, superficial almost.
Right.
So the talking brings everything back down to its truth, to its honesty.
Okay.
So if at the bottom of all of that,
mm-hmm.
the person is by nature defensive.
Yes.
You therefore have a choice to make. Mm. Am I willing to accept that?
Mm-hmm.
Am I willing to live with that? Or actually, is it no good for me?
Okay.
That person can then turn around and say, actually, I didn't realise I was doing it that badly. Mm. Thank you for telling me.
Mm.
I'm going to try and lessen that. Or actually, this is who I am, tough.
Mm-hmm. Which so, is the usual reaction.
But then you make choices according to that.
Okay.
If the choice is, well, you are really defensive and you don't want to change it, but I want you to change it and you love me, you're going to change it? It's ridiculous.
Mm.
It's ridiculous.
Okay. The other scenario might be that that person says, well, this is who I am, and if you can't accept it, then you're not loving me unconditionally.
But you're not loving most people unconditionally, so the answer to that would be yes.
Yeah.
You're quite right.
Mm.
because actually most very few humans can achieve that.
Because
there is always a condition. The condition is always that you love me back as much. So if the relationship is not balanced, of course it's not unconditional. Of course it's conditional. A lot of relationships are about enabling. Enabling people to stay in their bad patterns of behavior.
Right.
Because you concede. Or because I love you, I'm going to let you get away with that. Oh, well, I love you so much, it's me that must be to blame, not you. Because you have no self-worth. So actually, it's not a healthy relationship. If you have to actually have that change dialogue to that level, the relationship has already got out of balance.
Right. Okay, I can see that, yeah.
There's always an element of compromise when you are sharing your life with someone. But compromise is the detail, not the true nature of who you are. If the true nature is that that man is simply just not nice, then that man's simply not nice. The woman either chooses to stay with it or to leave.
Right, and that's where self-love comes in.
That's where self-love comes in. The conviction that actually, you know what, I'm worth more than a man that's not nice. But I see why I attracted him. I attracted him because I didn't believe that. Now I believe it, I don't need to continue this. Bye-bye.
Yeah. So you haven't sort of failed in a way by not being able to love that person unconditionally.
Not. Because it was only ever about loving yourself conditionally.
Right. Okay.
Most relationships are a reflection of the lack of self-love. Never even gets into loving the other person. Most of the time it's about the love of self.
Yeah.
Which is why Love and Light is really rather funny.
Because
if they are not sitting in their own self-love, what are they sending out?
Well, that's what I wondered, actually. You know, when I was thinking back to our previous talk about prayer, and I thought when people are sending love or praying for love, what are they actually sending? What's happening when they do that?
Depends what they believe love really is.
Yeah.
Sadly, a lot of people, especially within the spiritual movement, believe love can do no harm. Well, sorry, yes it can.
It can.
For several reasons. Firstly, if you are not balanced in love in yourself, then the vibration of love you send out is not balanced.
Right.
So the sender is not necessarily in the best place to send out love. And actually, is it a cry for help? The person receiving it, well, if that person is equally not self-loving, and in fact they have never been shown love in their life, here you are sending them something they've never ever had or been able to touch.
Okay.
Apparently that doesn't do any harm. Well, I beg to disagree.
Right.
I think that's terribly cruel. Because here you are surrounding that person who has never been loved in their life, who has no vocabulary for it, no social skills for it, and you are surrounding them with it, with this intangible thing they can't have. Apparently, that does no harm.
Right. So what effect does it have then?
It can be very cruel.
Oh.
It can arrive to that person as a negative vibration, not as a positive one.
Really?
Well, one man's heaven is another man's hell. So love to one person is wonderful, love to the next person is not so wonderful.
Okay.
There's no measurement of it. There's no quantifying of it. There's no holding the responsibility of what you are doing. When you send out love and light, you are not taking responsibility for the consequences. A lot of the time they are stepping into the belief they can do no harm. In a perfect world, were you all in balance, I wouldn't be saying that. I would be saying, absolutely fine, yes. But you don't live in one of those. You live in a world full of chaos, negativity, a world where personal responsibility is a dirty word, a world where 99% of your population has no idea what love really is. And there you are bombarding them with even more of it, just to prove the point.
Right, that's food for thought.
It's feeding the lack of self-worth. It's not supporting it.
Okay.
Because you aren't wishing them to find love for themselves. You're going, here's love. Because I've got it. And I can give it to you. How wonderful. how godlike.
But they can't receive it.
They can't receive it. Or more importantly, they're receiving it from someone who is giving it falsely. Because you're not standing there with a hug.
Mm.
You're not even in their life.
Mm.
You're a distant figure they have no connection to. How is that loving?
Mm.
How is that a true expression of love, the emotion, the irrational thing? Love is completely irrational. So if you send it out into the world in mass quantifiable blobs as it goes out,
mm-hmm.
it's irrational. In other words, every person will receive it irrationally.
So you mean they will receive it depending on their concept of it or
correct.
Their experience of it?
Their experience of it, their concept of it, their ability to receive it. There are people who come down to have a life purely about giving love but not receiving it. Others who come down for vice versa.
Mm.
Most of you come down for a life about giving and receiving.
Mm.
So the person who can't receive it, you're just slapping it around their face going, ha-ha, I've got it.
Mm.
And they have to go, yes, here it is back, because I'm a giver.
Right.
Thank you for pointing that out to me. Or they're a receiver who can't give. Well, they're now being overwhelmed, aren't they?
Yeah. Mm. So what do we do then?
Well, stop sending love and light for a start.
Right.
It's the same with light. Light works just as destructively.
Mm-hmm.
If that person is completely locked in negative darkness, that light is a taunt. It's not a way out.
Okay.
You know, if you are at the bottom of a mine shaft, trapped, and at the top all you can see is light, how does that help you?
It just makes you feel worse.
Absolutely.
More frustrated.
Yes. The light isn't coming down to reach you. The light is just hovering around you going, na 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 na.
Right. So if, I mean, this is coming back to prayers again, but if
mm-hmm.
we
yes.
send light to a part of the world, like Afghanistan, for instance.
Okay, well, firstly, what right do you have?
Well, I do it sometimes, but I sort of bearing in mind what you told me
mm-hmm.
before,
yes.
that if we send light, we need to ask that it's there to bring balance rather than to eliminate darkness.
That's right.
It's to bring balance.
So when you are sending out light, you are taking responsibility for the action of it.
Yeah.
That's what's missing here.
Okay.
When it first started, when spiritual people started to send out love and light, it was heartfelt, it was honest.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's a throwaway statement.
Mm.
It's so blasé. Oh, I send you love and light.
Mm-hmm.
It's completely meaningless. You're sending out these random elements with no concept or construct beneath it.
Mm-hmm.
No true intention.
Right.
Just an intention that I'm wonderful because I can send out love and light. And I know how beautiful it is, and so you must know how beautiful it is.
Mm.
There's no responsibility in that.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to send out love and you want to send out light, sit down in the reality of what these things are and take the consequences. Because if you send light to someone who is in darkness, that is no better than psychic attack.
Right. Gosh, that's...
So that person then sends it straight back at you.
Okay.
If that person is defended, if that person has shielding, that will approach them as a negative impact, so will turn around and come right back at you as a negative.
I think most people don't realise that.
No, because you're blasé, sending it out.
Yes.
No thought for what goes around comes around, because you've sent out love. Love is what's going to come back to me.
Mm-hmm.
Well, no, not if it's gone through 5 million people who can't accept it
mm-hmm.
and have transformed it into obsession.
Even if our intention is to...
Right, now you have to be careful.
Okay.
What is the intention?
Intention.
What right do you have?
I suppose I see it as a form of kindness, you know, like harmlessness.
But again, how is love kind? How is love kind?
How is it kind? Mm.
How is it ever kind? Look at the world and look at all the destruction in the world.
Mm.
How is it kind?
Hmm. I think I saw it as being harmless, but I can see it isn't necessarily.
No, love is not harmless. It is the most dangerous of all the emotions.
Right.
Because you do see it out of proportion. You see it in almost regal qualities.
Mm.
But that's unconditional, not conditional.
Okay.
Your love is conditional. It's conditional on where you are at the moment you give and receive it. So whether you are fully in yourself and fully in balance or not dictates the type of love you give and receive.
Right.
So actually sending out love into the world is very difficult to do without colouring it.
Mm.
Because it's a human emotion. Light, however, is a spiritual concept.
Okay.
So light responds well to intention.
Right.
Love does not.
Does not. That's what I was wondering, actually, when we send them out. What? Yes. Okay.
Because it's an emotion.
Mm.
Therefore, it's conditional.
Right.
It has terms by which it applies, terms by which it plays.
Mm.
Okay? So to send love out for the person's highest good is already slightly off because you've already determined love is what's for their highest good.
Mm. Okay.
But it's an emotion.
Right.
Okay, so send them out light, you can dictate for their highest good. Which means if they are in darkness and the light would cause suffering, mm-hmm. it won't arrive.
Okay.
Or it'd be turned down,
mm.
be softened.
Yeah. I also say in accordance with the laws of free will.
Right, well, love in accordance with the free will, better.
Mm-hmm.
But still, it's an emotion. It doesn't really understand free will.
But light, you could say.
But light does understand free will.
Okay.
Because it's a spiritual concept. It's not a human concept. So it will respond to spiritual understanding, which is we do not break free will.
Mm-hmm.
We act for your highest good. These are our covenants. Therefore, anything from a spiritual concept is used to working within those covenants.
Mm.
So highest good, not to break free will. We totally get it. Light totally gets that. Love, it's a human emotion. What do I care about free will?
Right. So if we send love in a prayer, it's not really going to do any good.
Very rarely.
Or it can't be used by spirit.
We can't use it at all.
Right.
It's nothing to do with us. It's an emotion.
Oh. But you can use light.
We can use light. We can also use unconditional love, but no one ever asks us to.
Okay. So if we said in our prayers to
yes.
send unconditional
love. Unconditional love can be tempered by not breaking free will and for your highest good.
Right.
It's a spiritual concept.
Right.
Therefore, we can apply our laws to it. We can't apply our laws to an emotion. It's nothing to do with us.
I see. Yes, I get
that. It's to do
that.
With you. It's your responsibility, how you deal with your emotions. That's what you are learning from.
Mm.
But we don't feel them, so how can we measure them? How can we measure their impact?
Right.
We aren't experiencing them in real time, in a real sense.
Mm.
We experience them through you. Unconditional love, however, is ours. We know what that does.
Mm.
We know how that works. Light, yeah, that's ours. We know how that works.
Mm.
So if you ask us to help somebody with light, we can go, okay, he needs, oh, little sprinkle.
Mm-hmm.
Or big, massive dollar. So we know what it does. We take responsibility for it because it is ours.
Mm.
What humanity is not doing is taking responsibility for what is theirs, love.
Mm.
You're just sending it out. And what you've done is you've completely devalued it.
Yes.
And sadly, because love and light have got coupled together, mm. you've now devalued light.
Mm.
Because you've debased it. You've brought it down to an emotion.
That's interesting, yes.
You haven't left it where it belongs, outside physical existence. You brought it right down into the heart of physical existence, right, and coupled it with an emotion.
Mm. Okay.
Not sensible.
No, I can see that.
So, you'll notice vessel, yes?
Yes.
Signs harmony and light.
Right, harmony and light.
Because harmony is a way of being, it's not mm-hmm. an emotion.
Okay, right.
So, as a way of being, it is closer to unconditional.
Mm.
So harmony is not specified. Harmony is what the soul needs.
Mm.
Every one of you finds harmony in a different resonance. It's unique to you,
mm-hmm.
to your imprint.
Mm-hmm.
So it's wishing you your uniqueness not defining what it should be. Mm. Humanity has defined what love should look like.
Yes.
Therefore, when you send it, it comes with this whole list of criteria.
Yeah.
How many doesn't?
Mm.
Grace wouldn't. Grace, again, a state of being, the ultimate state of being for humanity.
Mm-hmm.
So it sits in a more neutral energy. It doesn't sit in an emotion. It sits in a state of being.
Okay.
Okay? So it comes out of the emotional vocabulary. It comes up into the collective identity of being here.
Mm. Right. That's interesting.
So harmony has no negative.
Mm.
Grace has no negative. They are states of being. They don't sit in positive and negative.
Mm.
Happiness does. Happiness is a mental aspect.
Okay.
Okay. So wishing someone a state of harmony or a state of grace is completely neutral.
Right.
Wishing them love, whole gambit.
Mm.
From the lowest self-love to the most obsessive, to the point where you take someone's life because no one else can have them.
Mm.
That's what you're wishing them. Something on that scale.
Gosh. Yes. That's, if we sat down to think about that, we wouldn't do it so often.
But they don't.
No.
And actually, when healers, because healers do it quite a lot,
yes,
talk to me about this, the amount of rebellion is enormous.
Mm.
Because you don't want to be told love is destructive.
No. It's hard to imagine not doing that anymore. Absolutely. Not signing something off love.
I know, it's a bad habit. But recognize it's a habit. Surely that should tell you how much of a habit it is.
Mm-hmm.
But it's somebody else's habit, from somebody else's habit, from somebody else's habit. Because one day someone decided to sign love and light and everybody else has copied them.
Yes.
We never told you to do it.
Mm-hmm.
There's no scripture that says, Spirit came down and said, send love. No. Jesus came down and said, love thyself, love thy neighbor.
Mm.
Never told you to send love to them, but to actually love them.
Okay.
To do the action of loving them.
Right.
Not just blasé send it out, as if that's good enough. Because basically when you send out love like this, you're not acting in a loving fashion, you're acting in a superior fashion.
Mm.
Oh, I have love, I'll just send it to you. Well, no you don't. Do you love yourself fully? Are you actually standing in balanced love? Most people aren't.
No, no.
So even your scriptures don't tell you to send love out into the world. They tell you to act lovingly. There is a difference.
Okay, so it's an action.
It's an action. You should act lovingly. But sending it out willy-nilly, blasé, that is not acting lovingly.
Okay.
That is acting from ego.
It's an attitude as well.
Yes, of course. Yes. Absolutely. It's an attitude. This is why love has become so worthless now, because it's so devalued, because you just see it as harmless.
Yes.
And it's not. Even Christ quantified love thyself and everyone else. It wasn't love everyone else and then yourself.
Mm-hmm.
He started with self.
Okay. Yes, because love is often seen as something sort of sometimes wishy-washy, a bit mushy almost by some people.
The problem is that humanity as a whole, you don't all define love the same way.
Mm.
So because you don't define it the same way, you don't receive it the same way.
Okay.
And you don't send it out the same way, because it's sent out from your level of understanding and your true experience of it.
Right.
So whatever your experience of love is what you are sending.
Mm.
Personal.
Okay.
It's why gratitude is better.
Right.
Love and gratitude make a much better complement than love and light. Because at least they are both sitting in physical consequences.
Right. So gratitude's an emotion too.
Gratitude is an emotion, but it's also it sits in very different ones, because gratitude is partly acceptance.
Mm-hmm.
Gratitude is also a mental acknowledgement. So it sits across all the spectrums, gratitude.
Mm.
But you have to be careful, it has a negative side.
I don't know, gratitude.
Think about it.
Yes.
What would be its out of balance status?
Where you put yourself down too much by being too grateful to another.
Absolutely, beholding.
Yes.
To be holden to. You have to be careful with gratitude. Like love, it is has a negative and a positive.
Yeah.
But love is purely an emotion. It's irrational. It has no logical consequence, no thought. Gratitude does. Gratitude can also be of the mind.
Right.
So it can also be logical. But gratitude has no physical expression.
Right. Okay, what I'm trying to think about is that some teachers talk about vibrations and different levels of being. You vibrate at different levels. And
which beings are they talking about? The human beings?
Human right. beings, okay. yes. Mm-hmm. And that love is up there as one of the highest, you know.
No, unconditional love is.
Unconditional love, right.
This is the confusion.
Yes.
This is where it gets all muddled. Yeah. They're taking the teaching that has come from spirit and it's got twisted. Unconditional love. That point of unconditional love I spoke about. When as a human being you can balance all of your emotions and stand in a state of grace, you achieve the possibility to connect to unconditional love in a human concept.
Okay.
That is the most powerful.
Right.
So that can do no harm.
So if we want to grow spiritually, develop ourselves.
Yes.
That should be our aim.
No. Because what's driving it? Be careful. Is the ego driving it?
Okay.
In which case you have no substance underneath it. Okay. Your aim as a being, and all aims for all beings, should be to come into balance.
Okay.
Wherever that leads you to is what is right for you as an individual.
Mm.
No one should dictate to you what that is.
Mm.
Spirit included. If you drop into your level of balance, that will be your level of grace or harmony. That may be enough to raise you up to unconditional. It may not, because it may not be right for you at this moment. But if you aim for that, you're missing the point of the journey.
Okay.
Because what happens is spiritual people jump steps. They go into denial. They believe they are balanced because they just don't want to recognize that they're not, because their eye is on the target. Which used to be enlightenment, and heaven help us, is now ascension.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
What do you think enlightenment is? If it isn't an expression of understanding unconditional love.
Right.
To be enlightened is to understand you have the power of God, but to have to act responsibly with it.
Right. So what is light then? I mean, we know it is. You know, you put a switch on and the light comes on.
Absolutely, and this is the slight problem. You have more than one use for the word.
Mm.
So light in a human concept is illumination.
Okay.
So the luminosity that comes from your sun, so your daylight, your electric light, it is about casting a light into your world to physically remove darkness.
Mm.
Okay? When we talk about light, it is an expression of our energetics.
Okay.
It's the fact, mostly we started using the word light for spirit to differentiate the fact that we were weightless.
Mm.
Because you are dense, you're heavy.
Yes, that's the other thing about light, being physically light.
Absolutely. So you originally used the word for illumination.
Yes.
Your vocabulary also used the word for weight.
Mm-hmm.
When spirit started to talk to you, we looked at your vocabulary and went, oh, okay, we are light because we are weightless.
Mm-hmm.
And we can illuminate you about your life.
Yes.
This is where we started to use the idea of light from. It is not a thing.
Okay.
It's a concept.
Mm.
So we originally referred to our light in the fact that we were weightless, and we could bring you illumination of your situation.
Right.
So symbolic.
Okay.
So to refer to spirit's light, it is a symbolic illumination from a source that is not physical.
Okay.
It's what we started to use it for. Over the millennia, it came down to being an expression of our energy. The fact that our energy is lighter than yours, our vibration is faster than yours. We can project our energy for purpose and with intention. something humanity haven't yet completely got a grasp of.
Mm-hmm.
So we can direct our energy with an intention, like a laser beam.
Okay.
So that laser beam idea fitted with your light vocabulary.
Mm-hmm.
So we continue to use the word light.
Yeah.
More often than not, it is the representation of the white light.
Yes.
So when we send down white light, what do you actually think we do?
Well, that would be to do with the darkness then, balancing or bringing light to the darkness.
In a lot of times, actually, it's cleansing.
Cleansing.
Mm-hmm. A lot of time, humanity uses white light to cleanse, to wash away things.
Yes.
Because our molecular structure of our energy is a much lighter vibration.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, it can attract the particles that are heavier and take them away.
I see. Right.
So if you want to get into the quantum physics of particle physics, ostensibly, our energy is at such a lighter vibration that it acts a bit like a magnet, if you like.
I see, right.
Heavier energies will stick to it.
Mm.
It can wash things away because it's moving faster. It can make you feel lifted because of its speed.
Okay.
So when we surround you with our light, it is in effect to just harmonize your energy by shifting its vibration.
I see.
Because your vibration responds to the faster vibration that is near you and tries to match it.
Mm.
This is what the particles do.
Okay.
They repel or, you know, energies can repel or attract. So our lighter energy is your energy is attracted to it.
Mm-hmm.
And then in wave formation, it tries to match it.
Mm.
So we can use it as a lighter energy to cleanse by attracting darker, heavier energies and pulling them away from you.
Mm-hmm.
So the intention is to pull away from you.
Okay.
Or our intention is to surround you to allow your energy vibration to try to match us.
I see, right.
So you feel harmonized and lifted. And you'll notice when we do it, people sort of suddenly do this.
Yes.
There's a real inhalation of breath and a relaxation. It's because all your molecules are starting to move.
Okay.
Because our vibration is faster around you and it makes their molecules start to move. And as your molecules move, it resettles you back into alignment.
Right. Now, that sort of leads on to a question I had, just very like that, but I was a bit confused because I sometimes hear that if you bring light into yourself and start working with the light, then you'll start to attract other people into your life that resonate in the same way, and those who don't will start to move out of your life. So in a way, it's sort of repelling.
You have to be careful with that.
Yeah. But on the other hand, I've heard that if you bring light in, then you need to protect yourself because the light
because
can attract...
is what attracts darkness. Yes.
Darkness.
So both are right.
Okay. They seemed like a contradiction to
me. But they're not a contradiction. They are actually both statements of truth and both need to be considered.
Mm.
The thing is, we don't ask you to work with light. We don't ask you to bring light into your bodies and work with it.
Okay.
That is a humans trying to skip a few steps.
Right.
But the truth is, if you did do that, your vibration would change. So the people you were attracting into your life would change.
Mm.
Not necessarily for your highest good.
Oh, really?
Not necessarily.
Mm.
Some people, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Majority of the population, maybe not.
Mm.
But the premise is right. Because of the law of attraction and repulsion that energy creates.
Mm.
So, strip it back to a simple statement. If you bring light into yourself, the people around you will change. That's true. They're not quantifying whether it's a good thing to do or not.
Mm.
If you assume light is all wonderful, then you assume there's no negative consequence. That's not true.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? We don't ask you to bring light into yourself.
Right.
You are already light, because you are already energy particles. Work with what you've already got before you try to tamper with it.
Right.
Now, to bring light in as a healing vibration,
mm-hmm.
to heal and balance what you've got,
mm-hmm.
is constructive. Okay. And that vibration will change the people around you because you are learning what you need to learn and they no longer need to be with you and new people need to be with you. So the law of attraction will still exist, but in a more harmonious way and for your highest good.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Okay.
But equally, the same is true. If you fill yourself through full of light, you're basically lighting yourself up like Christmas. And negativity is attracted to the light, especially the conscious form.
Right.
Because the conscious form, at a subconscious level, knows it needs to go to the light to go home.
Mm-hmm.
It also knows that it can exist longer if it feeds off of light.
Right.
So if you fill yourself with all this light, then all the negativity will go, oh, hello, supermarket. Okay? Mm-hmm. So yes, you need to protect yourself more.
Right.
So there is a balance to be done here.
Yeah.
There is a balance to be done with why are you filling yourself with light in the first place?
Mm.
What's the intention?
Mm.
Who's driving that intention? Is your ego driving that intention? Is your soul driving that intention? Is this something you need to learn from? Or is this simply somebody else's idea and they're selling it to you?
Mm-hmm.
Because the more of you that do it justifies their existence.
Okay.
Doesn't justify doing it. Just justifies their existence.
But it's okay to bring it in for cleansing.
For cleansing, because it's carrying on going through, isn't it? It's changing, it's morphing.
Yeah.
It's not staying as pure light.
Right.
What happens with the people who fill themselves with light is they don't do anything with it.
Mm.
They just fill themselves with it.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't change it.
Okay.
If you bring it in for healing, you're densifying it. You're changing it to purpose.
Mm.
Fulfills its function and goes. If you're just filling yourself with light, you're basically just getting brighter and brighter and brighter and brighter. In terms of luminosity,
mm-hmm.
not necessarily in terms of intellect.
Okay.
Or emotional understanding, or emotional awareness, or physical health. Just luminosity.
Right.
More importantly, the lighter you make yourself, the literally lighter you make yourself. Our light is weightless.
Mm-hmm.
So the more you fill yourself with it,
mm-hmm.
the more you destabilize your ability to stay grounded.
Okay.
So you start to detach from the world.
Yeah.
Once you do that, you're also more vulnerable to negative energies.
Mm.
You're more vulnerable to ill health, to mental illness, to all manner of things.
Mm-hmm.
But most importantly, delusion.
Right.
So you will see spiritual people, little apostrophes I'm making,
yes,
who have no sense of reality
because
they have filled themselves with light and have gently hovered above the earth like helium balloons.
Okay, yes.
They have no sense of reality, no ability to live in a physical concept, but they are telling everybody this is the way to be.
Mm.
How can it be? You're supposed to be having a physical experience.
Mm.
And they've denied themselves one. By making themselves so light, they're all the way up here.
Mm.
Now, they feel wonderful
mm-hmm.
because they're sitting in ecstasy.
Okay.
But sooner or later, that bubble needs to burst.
Mm.
And it will burst. Either because they cross back to spirit far too soon,
mm-hmm.
or because their soul finally screams loud enough and something happens. And back down to earth they will come and it will not be pretty.
Mm.
To start the process all over again.
Right.
They've got to start learning everything back from the beginning.
Mm.
Because they jumped steps.
Okay.
Lots of them. Because light can do no harm.
Yes, I think that is the general belief.
But when you're filling yourself with it and not taking responsibility for the consequences,
mm-hmm.
you are doing harm to yourself.
Mm.
The light isn't doing harm.
Okay.
It's doing its natural job. It's giving its natural function. You haven't factored in that. Therefore, you've done harm to yourself.
Right. So, should we just ignore light as a concept altogether? Or
no, you can work with light as a concept, but understand the intention behind it.
Mm.
Understand what you are doing.
Mm.
So, for instance, if there is a place that is very negative, you might want to send healing light to help balance out some of that negativity.
Yeah.
So you can use it as a tool. It's a bit like a laser. You have to use it to cut away things.
Mm.
Not to replace them.
Right.
or what more often happens, is to paint over them like whitewash.
Mm-hmm.
And sadly, this is what light gets used for quite a lot now, is whitewash. If I just paint over all that black with lots of wonderful white light, black's not there anymore.
Mm.
But it is. It's underneath.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually it will break free. You haven't healed anything. You haven't balanced anything. All you've done is a temporary fix.
I'm trying to think of an example of that. I'm not sure what you mean by whitewashing with light.
Well, a lot of people do it in troubled areas. A lot of people do it to themselves.
Mm.
And then they end up deluding themselves that they've dealt with their negativity.
Okay.
The idea of having no ego and always thinking positively is a whitewash.
Yes. Yes, I've always realised that about always trying to think positively. It just doesn't work.
No, it's a whitewash.
Mm. It's not real.
It's not real. The reality is you will have positive and negative thoughts every day of your life.
Mm-hmm.
The job is to actually not worry about it.
Mm.
But to actually go, oh, I was thinking negative. Oh, okay, yeah, that's fine. And get on with life.
Mm-hmm.
But you can whitewash areas and you can change scenarios if enough of you are doing it. And this worries us slightly. There is an example of this at the moment, that there are a lot of healers putting a lot of focus in the Andreas fault to stop it from going.
Right.
But it's meant to go.
Okay.
And it was meant to go a while ago.
Mm.
So there will be consequences.
Because they're holding it back.
So they are stopping the pressure being relieved in that point.
Mm.
So it'll have to be relieved somewhere else.
Mm.
So since they have been doing it, there have been a lot more volcanoes and a lot more earthquakes around the world.
Mm.
Instead of one big one where it wanted to go.
Right.
Now, can we judge what they're doing? Of course not. They are doing what they feel is right for their local area. But not for the rest of humanity and not for Mother Earth.
Mm.
They forget the process of earthquakes is for her to relieve her internal pressure. That has to happen. It's the natural order of your planet.
Okay.
So they are protecting their own, but they have to then live with the consequences of that. So they are using light for their own gain.
Mm. I see, yes.
Now, they won't see it like that.
No.
And I'm not here to change their minds. That's for them to live with the consequences of their own actions. But the reality is, if you focus too much light in one area, a lot of darkness is going to pop up somewhere else. There's no balance to it.
Right.
It's not an accord across the world. It's specific.
Mm.
That right. doesn't work.
Right.
There aren't enough of you doing it in a balanced fashion.
Mm.
Where it's actually highest good.
I'm wondering then why it sort of got to this stage that perhaps there is a lot of misunderstanding.
Yes, there's a lot of misunderstanding, but it's because spirituality became a catchword.
Mm.
The problem with most people's lives is they feel empty.
Yeah.
But that emptiness is about what you need to learn about yourself. Mm. And they try to fill it with all manner of things. And that unfortunately leaves them vulnerable to being easily led. It leaves them vulnerable to allowing their ego to run wild.
Mm.
It doesn't leave them grounded and stable. Mm. And they are forever trying to fill in the void. But you can't fill it with things out in the world. You can only fill it from within. And until humanity grasps that,
mm-hmm.
you will see more and more chaos. Because in a physical representation, it's greed mm-hmm. and money and mm-hmm. property and objects. So even the poorest person will have a lot of objects.
Yes.
So it's objectified in a physical representation.
Mm-hmm.
And it's objectified in a spiritual context with all of the tools that they have, the lessons that they've learned, the gurus that they've been to, the teachers that they've had. It's mm-hmm. objectified in that manner.
Yes.
It's out of balance.
Okay.
It's not dropping down into the reality of what it is, personal responsibility. It is a lesson every human being is learning
mm.
every single time you touch the earth.
Mm.
That lesson, more than any lesson at the moment, is not being connected to.
Okay.
And without that one, you have no measuring stick and no reality.
So personal responsibility is our biggest lesson.
It's personal responsibility and being in balance.
Okay.
So being in balance, balancing each life is the goal. But you will always learn personal responsibility and self-love. Those two will always be on everybody's list every single time you come down here. Albeit self-love changes slightly in its manner, personal responsibility does not.
Okay. So by personal responsibility, that means responsibility for how we feel inside.
How you feel, how you act, what you think, what you're putting out into the world, the consequences.
Consequences of our behaviour, our actions.
Yes, of your emotions, of everything. Because if you sit there in a very calm state, in a very happy state, the people around you will start to resonate with that same vibration. However, if you are sitting there angry, the people around you will start to resonate with anger.
Yes.
So what happens in your world is you're feeding off of each other's energy all the time. But you're not taking responsibility for what you're creating.
Right.
You're creating it and blaming it on somebody else.
Right. So if you're in a room with a few people and one person's calm and the other one's angry, who's affecting who? Or well, whose responsibility?
Your responsibility is ultimately through yourself. Okay?
Okay.
So in a room full of people, so say you've got 10 people in a room. One is calm, one is angry, and you have 8 other individuals who are neither one nor the other.
Yes.
Okay? And you are number 8 of those.
Yeah.
Your responsibility to yourself is to understand how you are.
Right.
Before you walk in.
Mm.
So walk into the room knowing thyself. So if you walk in going, yeah, I'm mediocre today. I'm okay. I'm neither up nor down. And you are aware of your energy and you are shielded. You have your boundaries in place. You will walk into that room and neither be affected or affected.
Right.
Because you are in perfect responsibility of what you are. You will also not be emitting. You will be at a momentary point of balance. Neutral.
Okay.
Calm over here is artificial.
Mm.
Because they've done a lot of meditating and they've told themselves this is the way to be. Their aura is far too large. They're not grounded. And the other non-grounded people in the room will start to pick up on that false sense of calm.
Right.
And will start to feel slightly euphoric. Gravitate towards calm. Want to be in calm's company, but not know why. Person over here who's angry doesn't like that. Because they want the calm, but they don't know how to get it. So they have to go across the room and destroy that.
I see.
So they will make a beeline for the calm and the people who are standing around calm and will try to disrupt it. And as they disrupt it, all the people who were sort of sitting in the calm euphoria will now start sitting in the anger. And the person who is calm will now not be such a lovely person, will now be a problem.
Right.
You're still standing there perfectly neutral.
Yeah.
Watching it all occur in the room going, oh, that's interesting. Look at that drama. Now, the one other person in the room who is in neutral will come and stand by you.
Okay.
Because you're both in neutral.
Right.
So you are attracted to each other, but not affecting each other.
Right.
Because you are standing in your responsibility, understanding the cause and effects of how you are. And there is a greater problem going on in the room that you're not feeding into.
I see.
So you can then choose to try and calm the situation. Okay.
From a neutral point.
From a neutral point, by trying to be the peacemaker. Coming from a neutral point, trying to distract everyone from the calm and the anger and allowing them to dissipate.
Okay.
You understand what you are doing and you accept the responsibilities of it, that it may backfire and anger may come at you. That's okay. If it's changed the vibration in the room.
Right.
So you may stand there and ask for peace. Or you may stand there and ask for an energy of stillness to descend on the room, to give everyone a moment to just catch their breath and think. to drop them out of reaction into conscious action.
Right.
So you're taking responsibility for what you're putting into the room and the consequences of it. Calm and anger are not.
Right.
They're in play.
Okay. So calm is not necessarily something to aim for then?
Not unless it's balanced, not unless you are holding yourself in responsibility, no.
Mm.
Calm can be just as addictive as anger.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Right. In a healing capacity,
mm-hmm.
You know, I practice craniosacral, and,
mm-hmm.
and we often, craniosacral therapy, we talk about resonating. And
yes.
So mm-hmm. sort of being grounded and calm, I suppose, ourselves to help mm-hmm. the person that we're working with
yes.
resonate.
Yes.
Is that different?
Well, in that term of the word calm, you're mm-hmm. using it to define yourself as neutral.
Okay.
So that your energy is not part of the healing process. The healing process is all about the patient.
Right.
So your calmness or your anger is not out of balance and therefore affecting the solution.
Okay.
You are, in effect, using the word calm there to represent neutral.
Neutral. So that's a better word,
yes.
right? Yes.
Are you in neutral? So mm-hmm. in other words, you are contained within the emotions you are experiencing at the moment
mm.
and not sharing them with everybody.
Okay.
So therefore, the agenda for your patient is solely about what the patient needs and you are not colouring it because of your emotional or physical or mental state.
Right.
Or indeed spiritual state.
Mm.
Because the spiritual state can often be one that's also out of balance
mm.
and can often be sitting in, I know best, I'm here to heal the world.
Yes.
Okay. All of which colours the treatment.
Yeah.
Colours the connection, colours what it can achieve.
Okay. So in a way, by sitting in neutral,
yes,
we're protecting the patient from
absolutely.
Ourselves.
Because you're sitting in balance.
Mm.
Am I just nicely neutral at this moment so that what comes through is all about the patient, only about the patient, and mm-hmm. for the patient's highest good?
Mm.
I'm not interfering. I have no agenda here.
Yeah.
That's you sitting in neutral.
Okay.
And actually healers need to drop into neutral a lot more.
Mm-hmm.
It's very difficult for healing because it's such a hands-on physical process. You're so in a person's energy, you're in their life force. It's very addictive.
Yes.
And it's very important to have that responsibility to ensure you are always in neutral because it's not about you.
Mm-hmm.
It's completely and 100% about them.
About them.
And has to stay that way.
Yes. Yeah. Right. Now I can see that. Right. Okay. So I'm just going back to the original question, love and
mm-hmm.
light. I think
yes.
I'm much clearer on the difference between the two.
Mm-hmm. So what would you like to send out instead?
Harmony and... Well, you did suggest harmony and light, but...
Harmony and light isn't too bad,
mm-hmm.
as long as you understand what light is and light can do. If you're not sure about taking responsibility of that,
mm.
just wishing them harmony.
Harmony.
Because
okay.
harmony is neutral. It's
yes.
a state of being.
Mm. Harmony and balance.
Harmony
perhaps.
And balance, harmony and gratitude.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be a little bit careful because gratitude can drop into the negative.
Yes.
Harmony and acceptance, but people tend to react badly to the word acceptance.
Yes.
Because they deem it as a judgment, which
mm-hmm.
is ridiculous because it's the complete opposite.
Opposite. Okay.
But the thing is, you can't sign off harmony.
No.
And this is the thing, your language has all changed. You used to sign off yours sincerely, yours faithfully.
Yes.
What was wrong with either of those?
Mm.
Sincerity. What was wrong with that? Why have you ditched sincerity?
Yes.
Faithfully between loved ones, what was wrong with that?
Mm-hmm.
So originally people signed the letter with sincerity.
Yes.
You don't anymore.
We don't, no.
You
it's
now
been devalued in a way.
Completely. It's been taken as being... What would be a good word for what I'm trying to connect to? On the one hand, it's been viewed as old-fashioned, but on the other hand, it actually taps into a lot of people's emotional states and the fact that actually you're not sincere in the letter.
Mm.
So the sign-off was dishonest. And
yes.
every time you signed it, you knew you were being dishonest.
Yes, because we tend to use that in sort of work environments, in
that's
official
right.
letters,
yes.
work letters.
But yours truly, for a loved one, is very nice. Yours faithfully, for a loved one, if you wish.
Yes.
But actually, harmony and sincerity.
Mm.
There's nothing wrong with that.
No. Kind regards is another.
Kind regards is nice. I'm yes. regarding you with kindness.
Mm-hmm.
But kindness, again, have to be slightly careful as to how that is received.
Mm.
You know. Harmony and kindness kind of hold each other in a better vibration.
Mm. Okay.
So the thing is to look at the language and strip the word back down to its original meaning.
Mm.
And then feel where the word resonates within you when you say it.
Mm-hmm.
What aspect are you projecting when you use the word? And you'll find when you say the word harmony, it doesn't really sit anywhere. It sits everywhere.
Mm.
That's because it's a state of being.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
If you have to use love and light, then at least make it unconditional.
Yes, yes. Okay.
And at least make it the light of something.
The light of something.
Well, yes, healing light or
oh, right.
balancing light
or
cleansing light or something productive
yeah.
rather than just light.
Light.
I just send you a light bulb.
Yes.
You know, you might as well just be mailing everybody 40 watt light bulbs
yes.
and not asking them what light fittings they have.
Mm-hmm.
You know, wishing someone harmony.
Mm.
Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
You often sign best wishes.
Yes.
That's not too bad. Best
okay.
wishes is quite good.
Yes.
Because that's an intention.
Mm-hmm.
So that's actually perfectly neutral.
Mm-hmm.
And it's generally received neutral.
Yes. Yeah.
So, best wishes and harmony.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, it's about what do the words originally mean
mm-hmm.
and taking it back to the original meaning.
Mm-hmm.
But it's why so few people now can sign sincerely.
Yes.
Because they recognize the dishonesty in what they are doing.
Yeah.
Subconsciously,
mm-hmm.
but they don't want to use the word.
Mm-hmm.
Now, shall we go into the idea of harmony and integrity?
Mm. Yes.
Most people won't even open the letter.
Yes.
Now, harmony and grace would be a wonderful pairing.
Mm.
But again, people wouldn't be slightly too much.
Mm.
Harmony and grace is too much for most people to accept.
I think a lot of people wouldn't understand grace either.
No, absolutely, and that is a shame. That
mm.
is a sadness.
Mm-hmm.
That humanity is so dropped out of grace.
Mm.
The true meaning of grace, actually standing in grace.
Mm-hmm.
Because again, it got enveloped in religion with you say grace.
Yes.
That was never what it was about.
Mm.
It was never about a prayer. It was always about how you were.
Mm.
In yourself, of yourself, and knowing self, that is grace.
Right. But it does have religious connotations. But
it has religious connotations and it needs to be reclaimed back from religion.
Right.
So wishing you grace.
Mm.
I think it's about the statement is to finish a letter and most people don't write letters anymore.
No. Not emails.
But even then, they're half-truths. They're misinformation, they're not honest most of the time, they're not complete.
Mm.
They're throwaway.
Mm.
So your ending is throwaway.
Mm.
Love and light.
Mm-hmm.
But because you have such a throwaway society, everything has become throwaway.
Mm-hmm.
There's no consideration that goes into anything anymore. So sending you harmony and consideration.
Mm.
Mm. Consideration just hit like a poof on the floor, didn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Because I'm considering you, I'm thinking about you.
Yes.
Oh dear, why should you be doing that? The thing is to play with the English language more, and there's nothing that says it has to be in English.
No, that's true.
But sadly, I do find the other compunction for signing namaste.
Oh, yes.
I do find that a little bit nauseating.
Mm.
Because they don't know what it means.
No.
They've never actually said it in its true context. They've been taught it by a teacher who was taught it by a teacher who is so far removed from its original intention. They don't really know what the vibration means anymore. It's as bad as love and light, but it's not as destructive. It's just
right.
slightly nauseating.
Yeah. Yes.
It should be.
It sounds like a nice word.
Absolutely, and it should be an expression of peaceful existence.
Okay.
Because originally namaste was talking about that wanting for you absolute contemplation and peace.
Mm.
An act of stillness, if you like.
Mm-hmm.
That's what namaste originally descends from. It's very far removed from that in Western usage.
Mm. Yes. Yeah.
You know. So it doesn't have to be in English, but don't adopt somebody else's idea of what is right.
Mm.
Look at what your own vocabulary says is right.
Okay.
And the older, the better. Mm-hmm. More often than not.
Yes.
You know, yours in harmony would be quite novel.
Mm-hmm.
And if it makes people think, isn't that a good thing?
Yes, it is. I'll certainly think a lot more before I sign off.
But the other thing is, what I find rather annoying is they use the same sign off for everybody.
Yes.
Instead of tailoring it to the person.
Mm.
And actually, that's a kinder act.
Mm-hmm.
So actually feeling the vibration of the person, the nature of the letter, and using an appropriate ending.
Mm.
Not as a habit, love and light. Because that doesn't work.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't work for me anymore if I receive that.
You kind of get to the bottom of the letter, go love and light, and it's completely undermined the value of the letter.
Yeah. It's like a text ending, LOL or something.
Yes, absolutely. It might as well come down to L and L.
Yes.
Why not? It's where they've taken it to.
Mm.
So actually personalising the ending to the person you're sending the letter to actually shows a far greater sense of responsibility and respect.
Mm.
And what about good old-fashioned respect?
Yes.
In harmony and respect. You're stating how you were when you wrote it, not what you're sending them. And also how you hope they will receive it in harmony and respect.
So you would use the term in rather than in. Sending you...
Yes, in harmony and respect. Because it's the act in which you complete the letter.
Okay. Or with...
Yes, or with harmony and respect. If the nature of the letter fits with that.
Mm. Mm. Right.
The problem is, the habit is to sign everything the same.
Yes.
And that's just part of the devaluing of the language again.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, it should be more tailor-made to what is the letter, who are you sending it to, and how do you actually feel at the moment you send it? Because how you actually feel is what you actually send.
Right.
So if you drop down into love and light out of a habit, but actually you hate the person you're writing the letter to, and actually you're trying to get rid of them,
yes,
you're sending all of that with love and light.
Mm.
It's not honest.
No, no.
You should come down to a more formal close when it is a more formal topic.
Mm-hmm.
So you're sincerely or with regards.
Mm-hmm.
Now, with regards is completely dead, isn't it?
Yes.
Best wishes slightly higher up.
Mm-hmm.
Kind regards about the same.
Mm-hmm.
So if it is a letter to someone you don't really like or you don't really want to have any more correspondence with, why on earth would you sign it love and light? Dishonest.
Yes.
It's dishonesty. It's not integrity.
No, it's thoughtless as well.
Absolutely. And it's forgetting the power of the words. And because it's become a habit, the words have become devalued.
Yeah. Which is a shame.
Yes. But not irreversible.
Mm, mm.
All of this can be changed if you drop back into personal responsibility.
Mm.
If you actually take a moment to look at the correspondence and to feel what is right,
mm-hmm.
what's appropriate,
mm.
what's for the highest good. And sometimes that's just your name.
Yeah.
And absolutely no crosses.
No crosses. Why is that?
Unless it is someone you are actually in a loving relationship with,
yes,
it can really be very hard for a lot of people to accept.
Right.
It's the giving and receiving of love again, isn't it?
Yes.
Because that's what it means, but on a much more intimate level. So there's a level of intimacy with that that not everyone can accept.
I see.
So right. The boundaries. Are you respecting their boundaries?
Hmm.
And also they then feel compelled to do it back.
Back, yes. Yes.
And they may not want to, because they don't want to be judged by you as not loving because they haven't.
Mm.
It sets up a whole spiral of problems.
Yes, that's true. Because if I'm writing back to someone, I often look to see how they've signed.
How they signed it, and then how should I reply?
Yes, I do it the same way.
Yes. But is that then your truth? Or are you now copying their truth?
I'm just copying theirs, really.
But how is that just your personal responsibility?
It's not, now that I think about it.
But more importantly, how is that for your highest good? Because they've just enabled you to do what?
Mm.
Undermine yourself, perhaps? Or belittle yourself, even? Break one of your boundaries?
Yeah. I hadn't thought of it before, but I suppose it's a bit lazy. Mm-hmm. It's just
habit.
Habit, yes.
Mirroring.
Mm.
But not always healthy.
No.
If it isn't what you want to say, don't say it.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't know what you want to say, say nothing.
Okay.
This is the problem with an instant society. You're all sending messages all of the time with very little thought about what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
And even less thought about how it will be received.
Yes.
And the more instantaneous your world gets, the worse your language devolves.
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
And you've lost the richness of it. Yeah. Especially with reference to things like the English language. The Chinese language hasn't altered quite as much. But the English language really has. You went through a beautiful period of richness
mm.
when everybody understood every nuance behind everything you said, and now that is sadly gone.
Mm.
I'm not so disappointed that Latin went. That was quite hard to get on with. But
yeah.
English as a language had a wonderful structure to it
mm.
and had a real complexity to its nuances, which allowed you to say so much with so little.
Mm.
You don't have that anymore, and that is
no,
a shame.
No, we don't.
Mm, that is a sham.
Yes. Now we say so little with so little.
Yes. And even as you say, in acronyms, LOL.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You don't even say the full words anymore.
No.
Mm. Sometimes that's okay, but too much use of that. And why use the long words anymore?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's not good.
No.
And sooner or later, it wouldn't surprise me if Love and Light came down to LAL.
Yes. I think it probably will.
Or even more importantly, the spiritual people, L plus L.
Right, yes.
Because they wouldn't want a simple symbol like a vowel.
Mm-mm.
It would have to be slightly more grandiose.
Yes.
The plus sign is more grandiose.
Yeah, that's true.
But no.
Mm.
Love is an emotion and should be treated with great respect.
Mm-hmm.
Light is an energy source that has enormous capacity within it. But needs to be directed with true focus and intention.
Yeah.
If you honor both of those things, then you can use the words with far more construction and far more constructive motives.
Mm.
But if you are merely copying somebody else, then that should already show you what the problem is.
Yeah.
And if you don't even understand the original source, that definitely should show you the problem.
Mm.
Because you are so far removed from the original reason for saying the two words. Becomes like a Chinese whisper, doesn't it?
Yes.
And so no one knows what was originally said, because it has come down to love and light.
Mm.
It has lost something in translation.
It has. And it's the power of words. We don't stop to think about it sometimes.
No. And I'm very particular about it. And I know it upsets some people that I can be very particular about the words that they use.
Mm.
But I'm doing it because it is a subconscious expression of what you are actually thinking, feeling and doing.
Mm.
But it's subconscious, so it tells an enormous amount about where you are.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So actually, if you stepped into the words you chose more carefully, you'd understand yourself so much better.
Yes.
And understand what you were doing, what you were trying to do, what you were actually manifesting.
Mm-hmm.
Language is an amazing tool for insight into your soul and yourself. But it's not used as that. And that is a shame.
Yes.
And something that we are trying to change.
Mm.
Even in the words we choose, we are very careful.
Mm-hmm.
I don't always find the right word, but I find as close as I can.
Right.
But that's because the vocabulary is so much more limited now. It's much harder for us.
Yes.
And the more you dilute your language, the harder it is for us to get our message across, not the easier.
Mm.
I despair of the thought that we will have to come down and start talking in tech speak.
Yes. Yes. I hope it never comes to that.
Well, you wonder, don't you? Mm-hmm. If the message from God has to come down in GR8, I think something has seriously got lost.
Yes. Yes, definitely.
And yeah. That isn't to say that you can't have a relationship with God that is that intimate.
Mm.
But it should be a true expression of our word and not an acronym.
Yeah, yes.
And love and light has become an acronym.
Mm.
And they don't recognize it, and that is a shame.
Yeah.
And I would love to see the words reclaimed. Truly love, unconditionally love, to see those words reclaimed for the power that they originally had.
Mm.
Not sure. That we will see that.
Yes.
But if other people start to use other words, people will pick up on it, people will start thinking about it, and that is the way to change the world. You change yourself,
yeah.
And in that you have the capacity to change the world.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes, thank you so much. I will think so much more before signing off a letter from now on.
You know, occasionally if love and light comes out, fine, don't beat yourself up about it.
Yes.
But just recognize why you did it in that moment.
Yeah.
That's the easiest way of changing it.
Mm-hmm. And the power and the effects of it all.
Yes.
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 Yes, and I'm much clearer on the difference between love and light. So,
good. And that they most definitely are not
the
same thing.
At all.
No.
Yes.
No.
Okay.
Good.
Thank you very much.
Is that it?
That's it.
Oh,
thank you.
Wonderful. So nice to talk to you again.
And you.
So on that note, then I say goodbye.
Goodbye, Master
and
Chair.
God bless.
God bless. Good.
Okay.
Oh. How long was that? Was it gone over? Because I thought I didn't hear the beep.